This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
I'll often get a question from people. This will pop up in my Facebook groups. Kathy, I have a certain amount of impressions. Should I end my listing? Is the first one. And Kathy, I'm getting a lot of impressions, but not a sale. Am I doing something wrong? Is the second scenario. And the third one is my item has been up for X amount of time and I'm not getting any views and impressions. What is going on?
I'm Brian.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 133. Welcome back to the co-host chair, Brian.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be back. Some inclement weather here. We needed the rain, which is nice.
Yeah, we never complain about the rain in San Jose.
No, definitely not. The earthquake sometimes, but not the rain.
Now, don't tempt fate. We haven't had an earthquake here in a long time.
We have not. We've been lucky.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I have a lot of unsecured bottles of fragrance that I don't want crashing to the ground. Well, there's always eBay. I can buy more, so.
You could.
It could be a new project.
You probably can't sell the broken bottles, though, can you?
No, that don't. Oh, my heavens. This neighborhood would smell. I don't know. It smelled like a Sephora that had gone wild. But we're also really busy at work. And I remind everyone, we're not in the office. We're still working remotely. But that doesn't stop the work that has to get done.
No, there's all kinds of stuff going on, even on the heels of Seller Update, which was only, what, it feels like a month ago, but it was only a couple weeks.
And although we're not a breaking news channel, we will try to keep you up to date with things as they develop, of course.
Of course. So anything developing?
Well, we have a guest this week.
And who's our guest this week?
Well, as you heard in the introduction clip, it's a familiar voice because this week I'll talk with eBay seller I Love to Be Selling, Kathy Terrell, and we'll focus on a very important topic, boosting impressions and clicks for your listings.
I hope we also have some questions this week.
Yeah, in fact, we do. There's two questions about reports, so we'll take an opportunity to delve into those. And there's not a question so much. It's a testimonial about a subject near and dear to my heart. Can you guess what it is?
I was going to say fragrance, but...
No, starts with a T, second word P.
Toilet paper?
No, not... Jeez. What does every seller need besides toilet paper?
Oh, I know what the word is.
What?
Thermal printer.
Yeah, you got it. So we have somebody who has something to say about thermal printers, too.
The only reason I said toilet paper was a year ago, everyone was rushing around trying to buy toilet paper, and we're not doing that this year.
Right. No, they're not. They're more calm about it. I think the supply will last. Any news this week, Brian, besides TP?
Well, there was actually one news item this week. So we've just announced the new vice president of fashion. Charisse Marquez comes to eBay from Levi Strauss & Company, where she focused on enhancing the organization's digital selling process, in-store consumer experiences, and site merchandising. Prior to Levi's, Charisse held leadership roles at Sears, Kmart, and Sam's Club, and she will be working with us out of the San Jose headquarters and definitely comes to the eBay table with a wealth of retail and style-savvy know-how.
Yeah, we should get Charisse on the podcast.
We should. Be great to hear more about her background and experiences. Some great companies there. But maybe we should wait till she's had some time to acclimate before we extend an invite.
Yeah, I'll wait the appropriate number of days and then I'll send her an invite. In the meantime...
Maybe you should wait weeks, not days.
A common complaint among some sellers is the old chestnut, why are my items not selling? Of course, there could be one of many possible reasons. But in order to determine what the actual reason might be, you have to check a particular metric for your item or items in that case. And joining us to help explain what those metrics are, how to read them, and most importantly, how to use them so they can tell you how you can increase your chances of your items finding buyers is Kathy Terrell of I Love to Be Selling. Welcome back to the podcast, Kathy. It's been a while.
I know, Griff. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for having me. Waving from New York City to you.
Yes, I can see that. And if you're looking at our episode transcript, you'll see that Kathy is in Times Square right now and the traffic has returned, apparently.
Exactly.
Kathy, it's always a pleasure. What are the most common assumptions you hear from sellers when it comes to why their items are not selling?
The reason I suggested this topic when we were discussing what to cover today is that I'll often get a question from people. This will pop up in my Facebook groups is, Kathy, I have a certain amount of impressions. Should I end my listing? Is the first one. And Kathy, I'm getting a lot of impressions, but not a sale. Am I doing something wrong? Is the second scenario. And the third one is my item has been up for X amount of time and I'm not getting any views and impressions. What is going on? So the first one, which is I'm getting a lot of impressions, but I'm not getting sales. What you have to look at, you have to consider is what is the item? Is it an item, something like, I'm going to pick like an Apple Watch or a DVD, something that's very easily identifiable because it has an ISBN, it has a GTIN, it has an MPN, it has a part number, a manufacturer number. So it is easily identifiable. And then you might get a lot of impressions because it is something like a Sony whatever or an Apple whatever or a well-known DVD, something that's very, very popular. But it's not the exact part or manufacturer number that that person's looking for. So you may be getting a lot of impressions because it's from a general search. And just to define terms, an impression means you got a view. It means it showed in the feed. eBay calls it the river, if people aren't familiar with that term, which is the main feed on eBay is called the river. So you're getting seen, but what you're looking for is what is the impressions or the views, and then are you getting clicks? That's what's really important. So if you are noticing a lot of impressions and views, but you're not getting clicks, and you get this information in your seller hub, in your report. So go over there and start looking at it because it's a lot of great information.
Where is it exactly in Seller Hub?
You're going to look under Performance tab. And when you look under Performance, what you're interested in is traffic. And at least in my Seller Hub, it says new. Okay, so this is new information for us. And in there, it'll show your traffic for the past month, and you can customize it too. But you'll see impressions, which is views. And what's nice is eBay's also letting you know whether it is organic. And that doesn't mean organic food. I always think of that. It means that it is a view where you have not paid to get that placement. A paid placement is what you'd be getting through promoted listings. So you're going to see your impressions or your views that are organic, which is you're just showing up from search. And then you're also going to get to see your clicks, which is what you're interested in. And then obviously sales. So if you see an item's getting really, really high on impressions and you're not getting clicks, immediately you go and look at the listing, which is, okay, this is getting a lot of looks. It's not getting clicks. Why is it not getting clicks? Number one reason, you have a terrible picture.
That makes
sense. So you see the title, but the picture is so meh. And especially if you've got a lot of competition, Griff has a great picture. Kathy's picture is not so good. And you got to remember, most people now are on mobile. The amount of mobile shoppers has so increased in the past couple of months. I mean, it's always been high. It's really high now. So more than ever, your pictures really matter to get a click, not an impression, because eBay's going to be showing your item. Look at Griff's item. Look at Kathy's item. But to get that click, to get that mobile shopper to stop and click with their thumb. And I remember eBay staff calling it thumb stoppable, which means that the image grabs your attention. So you've got the title. I'm assuming you've got a wonderful title. eBay gives you 80 characters. So you want to have at least 75. And sometimes you got to like really think, but you really do want to have 75. But that image, because that typically is what grabs people's attention. Oh, the sneaker, the hubcap, the t-shirt. It's clear. It's crisp. I can tell what it is. I'm not having to go, what is that? Is that polka dots or flowers? Is that blue stripe or is it a green stripe? Clear, crisp. And again, you don't have to go into a photo studio. Phones do great pictures, but that it's clear, it's crisp. And Griff, you know this, it's in focus.
Yes. And that's why, for over the years, I've actually gone from recommending cameras. Now I just recommend, hey, if you got a latest cell phone, whether it's an Android or iPhone, both have great cameras. That's all I use now for taking pictures. Yeah.
You want to get that click because you got to have them come in and look at your listing.
We should make that clear that when we say click, we mean they've seen your item in the search results or the river, and they're actually now intrigued enough so they're going to click on it with their thumb or their mouse.
They're tapping it. They're coming in to look at it. They're coming in. They're looking at the price. They're looking at you as a seller. But the big thing is, and I always use this analogy, Griff, and you'll know because I know how much you love New York City. How do people get people's attention? This is pre-pandemic, but they're still doing it a bit now, too. They have a very attractive person, male or female, stand outside the store, and they hand out samples,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
The little frozen yogurt, the little shots of coffee, I'm trying to think, you know, I've gotten chocolates. I've gotten all kinds of stuff.
At Costco, that's how they sell product, although they've stopped doing it right now. But
the sampling. And obviously, you know, Griff's not standing on his list and going, hey.
Maybe they should.
And I'm not on mine. Right. We're not handing out samples. They haven't figured out how to do that. But what it does is it attracts attention to the store. I go, oh, that's delicious. Or like at Costco, yum. Let me take a look again at the fish or the cheese or crackers or whatever it is. But that's what you're doing with your picture. You're the attractive person standing there with yummy samples, the friendly person going, hi, come on in. And that's what your picture does. It gets that click. So they come in and take a look at the listing. And then as far as impressions, clicks, so now you've got the click. So what's going to drive the sale? Because the question always is, Kathy, I'm getting impressions, or Kathy, I'm getting clicks, but Kathy, I'm not getting the sale. You got to look at, is your price competitive?
That's so important to me as a buyer.
If you and I are selling, again, I always pick Apple because it's so well known, but like an Apple phone, and yours is $10 more than mine, there better be a really good reason it's $10 more. That it has some kind of attachment, like you've got the charging cord, I don't. Yeah, absolutely, you can charge more money if you've got the original charging cord or earpods or whatever it is.
Or even just the original box.
Yes, or the bag that it came in, particularly like when you're doing shoes and sneakers, all that kind of thing matters is if you have the box, if you have the bag. I know I've sold Coach that way, it comes with the bag or the dust cover, whatever it is. Oftentimes, if you are shipping international, if you ship international on the product, you often will get a higher price because guess what? Griff's not shipping international. I am shipping international. So Canada's going to buy from me. UK is going to buy from me. And they'll pay that little more money because the other item, Griff's item, isn't showing in their feed.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't ship to their country.
Oh, no. I knew there was a reason.
So picture really pops, then price competitively. Now, listen, if you are a collectible seller, because I work with some wonderful collectible, for instance, Maida and Bill Webster.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because
yeah.
I know you know the Websters.
Connectibles.
Right. Very experienced collectible sellers. They are very extensive in their research.
And the nicest people ever.
And they are the sweetest people. If they are selling a jack-in-a-box, if they are selling some kind of vintage cut glass, they will know the make. They will know the model. They will know the country of manufacture. If there's data on that, they will find it. They're great researchers. And because of that, also, they have great feedback. That's another thing. Buyers, look at your feedback. They have lots of feedback. It's positive feedback. You can price higher because you absolutely know what you're selling. You have impeccable feedback and you have a lot of feedback and they ship globally. So their price might be higher than somebody else. But if I'm coming in to buy the collectible, I might spend $10 more, $20 more, or especially collectibles because it tends to be collectors, because I know it's going to be wrapped well. I know if there's some kind of mark on that thing, that Bill or Maida have spotted it and they have taken a picture of it and showed it, that I'm not going to get it and have a rude awakening and see a dent or a ding or something that was not disclosed. That if for some reason it does arrive with a dent or a ding, that they will make good, that they will take care of me, that I'm not going to have to stand on my head to get them to do it. And I know for me as a buyer, absolutely, I'll look at that and go, you know what? Griff's got 10,000 feedback. He clearly knows what he's doing. He's taken a million pictures. He's really described the item. I will spend more money with Griff, because that's another thing people say. Why did this sell? It was $10 more than mine. Go and look at their listing.
It's a perfect example of why, especially in the antiques and collectibles category, reputation actually has a value. It actually adds value to your item.
It totally does. You can totally charge more. And again, if you're a newer seller, it's not to discourage our new sellers, because there's so many new sellers coming on eBay. But if I am, let's say, so we're both selling Madame Alexander dolls. It's the exact same doll with the exact same dress, because you got to check all the details too. You know, with the exact same dress, and Bill and Maida have it, I'm going to make up a dollar amount for $90, and I'm also selling it. Yeah, I'm probably going to have to price underneath them if I am selling the exact same thing with absolutely everything exact, because I'm in competition with a seller that has higher feedback. So you drop your price $10 or $15 to sweeten the pot, and you have a good return policy, because that's another thing that's going to get you the sale. Not that they're looking to return it, but they know, again, if there is some kind of issue, that you're going to take care of them. I shop on eBay almost every day, and I look at the return policy, because I want is if there's any kind of problem, that it's not going to be a big issue if I need to return it. And people do look at that. So that's going to impact your click. They come in and look. What are they looking at? They're looking at the price. They're looking at your reputation. They're looking at the quality of the description, and they are looking at your return policy and whether you ship international.
Does shipping play a part in that decision making?
I think it does as far as speed, typically around holidays, but people always think, you know, Christmas, 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 Hanukkah, 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 but there's also birthdays, anniversaries. I've had this. People message me, can you overnight it? Because they need it in X amount of time. I know when the prop houses shop, because my collectible sellers will say this, they need it for the TV show and they need it that you can overnight it or express it some way. And they don't care if it's $80 for the shipping. They need it in New York or in Hollywood or wherever it is, like pronto, and they will pay. So offering paid shipping upgrades, you may only get 3 sales a year from that, but you know what? That could be $300 in your pocket. That could be $400 in your pocket. It could be that thing that's been sitting there for 3 years, and you're like, who will buy this?
I had that exact thing happen to me. It was a few years back, but it was a old period suitcase that looked like it came from the 50s. Before she bought it, she said, will you overnight it? And I said, sure. She said, I'm paying for overnight. And it was for a TV show.
Isn't that exciting? I love it when stuff like that happens. And the other thing is very, very few impressions. Okay, so you put a listing up and you're just not getting impressions and views. It's just like what I said, go and look. How long is your title? And yes, it matters. If you only have a 3-word title, you're thinking cap on, grab an eBay buddy. But things like the brand, the country of manufacture, the color, the size. You can do things like for clothing, V-neck, scoop neck, and people say, oh, well, it's in the item description. Get it in the title. There's a lot of data on this. You want 75 to 80 characters. Use it. eBay gives it to you. Use it. But back to the collectible seller, because typically what will happen for them, if you're selling a commodity, if you're selling an Apple Watch, and for whatever reason, you are not getting impressions and views on it, you need to go and take a look. Perhaps you're missing the MPN. Perhaps you're missing the ISBN. Perhaps you're missing a longer title. Perhaps your picture is out of focus and they cannot tell what it is, so they're going right by it. If your views are really, really low and it's a commodity product where you can see it's selling, there's a flaw in your listing. And sometimes just getting a seller buddy to take a look at it can really, really help. If it is a collectible, so back to Bill and Maida, because they're my favorite collectible sellers, oftentimes it is, you've done your research. You know what the item is. And you know what it's worth. You've done your research. You know, typically this sells for $90. And another thing that's good with collectibles, particularly unique, one of a kind, is put best offer on it, because that'll bring people in. It also gets engagement. It's back and forth with the buyer. eBay likes that because they see that as that now your item has relevance because people are interested in it. So even though sometimes you will get some annoying low offers, it's well worth it on unique, one of a kind to do best offer. But Maida will say, you know, Kathy, we researched it, we priced it. It takes time to sell.
Especially in collectibles. It has to find that buyer sometimes.
You may only get 10 views. I've had this. I've had an item, if I remember correctly, it was like 5 views. It was a collectible New York City thing. But it sold because it's not about the number of views. It's getting the right views. I had the keywords. I knew it was a very unusual Broadway opening night thing for a very bizarre show that only ran for like a month.
What was the show?
I know you're going to say that. I can't remember the name of the show. I'll have to go look it up. I recognized it right away because I think I was invited to go to it and I just didn't get to it. And then it was like, it closed. It was an opening night snow globe of all things. It was clearly a cast member. People don't know the opening night of a Broadway show because my husband worked a lot of shows. Typically, the cast and the crew get unique collectible gifts that only the cast and crew get. They are not in the gift shop. You cannot get them anywhere else. It's a gift to the cast and crew, typically from the producers. And if you have a big star on a show, sometimes the big star will also give gifts to the cast. So this stuff is highly collectible. I knew what it was. I knew the show. I even put the stars in it because sometimes that'll pull up because it's, you know, it's Jim Belushi or it's, I'm trying to think of like Donna Murphy. You know, it's people that love Donna Murphy and they want a Donna Murphy thing. And I just had to sit and wait. And sure enough, it sold. I think it was about a year and a half. And I know Maida and Bill and I have talked about stuff that sat there. You know, again, they go, things can sit for 2, 2.5 years.
How important, in your view, is social media to helping to drive those impressions and click-throughs?
It's huge. eBay, if I remember correctly, it's something like 87% of eBay shoppers are digital consumers. They search on the internet. Not only do they shop off the internet, they research off the internet. So back to my Broadway collectible. I have my friend Griff, who I know loves Broadway shows.
Yes.
And who I want to give a unique collectible gift. I don't want to just hand him something. I don't want to knock any store, but from a mass market store.
Oh, no, I'll take anything.
And I know he collects wonderful perfume, but I'm not exactly sure what scents he likes, but I know he loves Broadway.
Yes.
So I'm looking for a unique collectible Broadway gift. Well, where am I going to go? eBay, of course, right? Just like if it was unique perfumes or whatever. Griff's birthday is only once a year.
Thank God.
Your item may sit there for a year or for 2 years, but when that person's coming in and they're searching by the star, or I'm thinking like for collectible things, they're searching by the period, they're searching by the color, and also they're searching price range. I love Griff, but I don't want to spend more than $100.
Oh, dear.
Or I'm buying it for my husband, and heck, I'm going to spend $300 for Bobby. You know, so they're searching by price. They're searching by what it is. Like they're looking for glass, or they're looking for like a Vegas ashtray. I know those are big from the old Vegas hotels, the ones that aren't around anymore, that kind of thing. That's the kind of thing where you go, I've done my research. I've got best offer on it. So if somebody wants to haggle a little, I'm willing to haggle. You get on Facebook and you share it on your business page, because let me tell you, Google search loves social media. And that's why you're posting on social media. Besides the fact that there's shoppers there, it's also because Google's there. So you're putting it on Facebook. You're pinning it on Pinterest because it helps you to get more traffic when people are searching for mid-century modern, Victorian dress, Victorian tablecloth, Edwardian hat, vintage perfume from the 50s.
My favorite.
But that's why. And it doesn't need to take a lot of time. I know sometimes people throw their hands up and it's like, I'm sourcing, I'm listing, I'm shipping. But truly, once you have your business page set up, and Facebook business pages are free, once you have your Pinterest board set up, it's just like listing. You know, you get a rhythm down. It literally takes you a few minutes to move it over there, and it's free traffic. It's a way for Google to pick you up, and it's a way for customers to pick you up. And as you're posting it on Facebook, and as you're posting it on Pinterest, you go into their search capability. So if I'm on Facebook, I've done this, and I'm searching chicken recipe, I'll get chicken recipes, but I'll also get chicken serving dishes, and I'll get chicken platters, and I'll get a lot of other things. Why? Because eBay sellers are posting those products.
For sellers of collectible items, that are one-of-a-kind items, which may not be really high value, but there's still possible buyers out there.
Yes.
In order to make a business out of it, you have to have a huge number of inventory available, because some of these are what they call long tail. They may not find a buyer for a year. And that could be a reason why they may have the impressions, they may not have the click-throughs, and they're doing everything else right.
And then it's just the patience thing that is a challenge. But again, like you said, with the long tail is that you have enough listings up that you have that steady sales. And you also know your seasons if you're a collectible seller. Like you may know that your items, the kind of items that you're attracted to, let's say you're a big vintage glass seller, that you sell like crazy at Mother's Day, or you sell like crazy at the holidays, or that you have steady traffic year round. I know for collectible sellers, sort of off topic, but why not throw it in, is, you know, you watch your margins. If things are going to be held on to for a year, year and a half, then you want to have good margins, 50, 60, 70, 80%, rather than if it's more of a commodity item, because back to, I have a lot of impressions, but I'm not getting the clicks and sales, and I'm selling the Apple product, I'm selling the Michael Kors bag, I'm selling the Adidas sneakers, I'm selling things that should be selling in 6 months and under, but maybe I have lower margins because of what I'm paying on it. You really got to watch your impressions, clicks, and sales. And if you're not getting them, really go and look at the listing. Make as good a listing as you can, price competitively, but then take those few minutes and push things out on social media. It only takes a little bit of time. I've got a tip sheet for people too, Griff, if they like. It's on my website, ilovetobeselling.com. It's a freebie, eBay listings that sell. And I cover some of the tips that we've just covered, but I've also got a lot more because eBay's always changing. That's another thing. People say, oh, I did this 2 years ago. I did this 3 years ago. I get it. Please, I've been selling for quite some time. And things that worked even 3 or 4 years ago just are not what is called a best practice now. For instance, Griff, I don't know if you remember this. Actually, I'm sure you do. Years ago, and I'm going to date myself on this, some people actually had music on their listings. You would click on the listing and it would start to play music at you, and they weren't selling a music box. The idea was it would grab your attention. Well, it certainly grabbed your attention, but it's distracting because it wasn't about the thing. I don't even remember how they did this script, but I remember like clicking on some listings and you would get like this music would start blaring out. Also, a lot of colored fonts. People used to really be into that. Again, the idea was it grabbed your attention. Now things like black and white is the way to go again because it's easier to read. Colored fonts is very tough on your eyes.
My eyes water when I see those fonts.
Right? Length of your title. Do try to use all 80 characters or at least do 75. And again, things like you can put in the neckline. You can put in the color. You can even say terms like casual. You could say terms like family night if it's a puzzle and this is a great fam. I mean, think about how would people use this? A great picture. And again, you don't need to go into the studio, but that it's clear. It's crisp. I know what it is. Okay, nice description. Watch your price. And again, your price might be great when you list it. And then 6 months later, all of a sudden, you got a bunch of competition. So it is worth it to go in and spot check your competition if something's just hanging there. And then do some social media. Get you that extra traffic.
You have to be careful about price when it comes to niche snot comparisons on eBay. And I can give you an example. There's a particular fragrance that I love. It's kind of my signature fragrance. And it's available outside of eBay from a specific website, which I shall not
name.
It's a trusted website that sells fragrance. It's Lucky Scent. Okay, I said it.
Now I know.
The fragrance sells there for $130 plus shipping if you don't buy a certain amount. There are people selling that exact same fragrance new on eBay for upwards of $200 or more, and it's not going to sell. And these are people who have made an assumption about price without researching beyond eBay.
Very good point, Griff. Particularly something like a scent. Come on, Adidas sneakers. Real, and even if you go mid-century modern cut glass, well, guess what? There are other sites that will remain nameless that sell mid-century modern cut glass. Everybody knows how to search on the internet. This was like 5 years ago. I had a really cool Monopoly game. I think it was the astronomy version. Okay, so said something to do with stars. I got a really good price on it. I was the best price on eBay, but it was sitting there and it was new and sealed. I'm like, why isn't this Monopoly game selling? This thing should be selling. Sure enough, I searched on the internet. It was on a major site for about $3 less. I dropped my price $4. So I'd be like $1 under this major site. It sold in 4 days. You got to check the price. And it may not be a huge monster site. It could be a mom and pop site. But again, you need to be competitive.
Competition is everything. Wow, we've learned a lot just talking to you in this short
period. We've covered a lot, Griff. We got to get together more often.
Right, exactly. If we need to get together beforehand, Kathy, where can we find you?
On my website, ilovetobeselling.com. I've got a great newsletter, so definitely sign up for that. But you do want to grab my freebie sheet. You'll love, love, love it. It's eBay listings that sell. And I've got a couple of wonderful Facebook groups, eBay Selling Basics, Nothing But Selling Basics for newer sellers, and also people that just want to review the foundation of eBay selling. And then I do have a group that is more advanced. It is an advanced selling group, eBay Stores, Nothing But eBay Stores. And you do need to prove that you're an eBay store owner to come in because we do talk more advanced selling topics in there. Things about optimizing your store and things like that a newer seller doesn't need to focus on.
So you can find everything you need to know about Kathy on eBay or off eBay by using that string of text, I love to be selling. ilovetobeselling.com. It's also your user ID on eBay.
Yep. And you can Google my name, you'll find me.
And Google Kathy Terrell. Kathy's no fool when it comes to branding. And in fact, if you look at our collateral picture for this week, you can see myself as always, and you can see Kathy. And Kathy has created her own Zoom background that has her branded name on it.
Well, that's the thing, like just for quickly before we sign off, Griff, it's again, when you're posting on your Facebook business page and your Pinterest, make sure your store name is there. Don't be like, you know, Griff's fun stuff. It's like whatever Griff's store name is on eBay. I'm making stuff up for you. That's your main name on your Pinterest board, your account, your profile. Because I'll see people like, you know, Muffy's favorite things. And it's like, but that's not your eBay store name. It needs to be your eBay store name. And same thing for your Facebook business page. Because I recognize you because I see Griff's Boutique, and then I go on eBay, Griff's Boutique.
It's Griffville.
Griffville. Okay, good. Let's promote Griff. Griffville.
Yeah, I try never to do that on the podcast.
Why not? Exactly. They can come and check out your stuff. But anyway, good.
Kathy, it's always fun. And I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us today. And I'd love to check in with you again in a few months, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Kathy Terrell is the owner of I Love to Be Selling. We've been talking about views and impressions and so many other things. I'll put the links to anything that we were talking about in our transcript for episode 133.
You got questions?
Well, we got answers. So there.
And as always, these are questions that were sent in to podcast@ebay.com.
And our first email isn't a question, Brian, so much as it is a testament. And it was sent to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Delane, who writes, "Hey there, eBay for Business podcast. I wanted to send Griff my support for his thermal printer campaign."
Yes.
"I don't think people realize all the fun goodies you can make with a thermal printer. I use a Dymo 4XL and a 450 Turbo. I've included some examples that I use in my business. Thanks for making a great show, Delane. Sand and Salt Online is his user ID. I hadn't thought of this before, Brian. I always talk about a thermal printer for printing labels, but you can use thermal printers to do a lot of other stuff as well." And he attached photos of two examples of the stickers that he creates for his parcels. And I'm going to put those in the transcript.
Oh, fantastic. I would not have thought about using it beyond the label as well. I will say this, Dymo is one of those thermal printer manufacturers that I've heard mentioned by other sellers as well.
Very popular brand. And what I'll do, as I said, I'll post these examples in the transcript, and it's episode 133 transcript, so everyone can see them. And over the coming months, you're going to see us use that transcript more and more with some visuals and soon even some videos.
Our next question is about sales tax. eBay seller Minda writes, "Hi, now that eBay is collecting my sales tax, I am in New York. How do I fill out my sales tax form for 2019? I assume I don't have to pay, but I do have to put in my gross sales, and I don't know which apply to sales tax. The eBay reports with tax information don't allow me to download for 2019. Thank you, Minda." Well, thanks for the question, Minda. I know there is a report for this in Seller Hub.
Yeah, there is. It's under payments. There's a link there for reports.
Is that what Minda's looking for?
I suspect it is. But just like she said, this report would, in fact, the report would show Minda everything needed to recreate her sales tax data for a period of time. However,
the data only goes back a year, and even then, only shows transactions that were processed through managed payments. Minda wasn't in managed payments for some or all of 2020. It won't show her all the transactions for that period.
Correct. As you mentioned, it won't go back to 2019.
But where should Minda go to get a report?
Well, if Minda wasn't in managed payments during 2019, she can always use PayPal's reporting feature to generate a report that will contain the sales tax information for each transaction. There are columns in that report for sales tax collected by eBay. And PayPal has reporting features that you can customize and different types of reports, maybe just payments received, purchases made. But if you do all transactions, you're going to get a huge number of columns in a spreadsheet format. But there are columns there that show which transactions by state. You can sort them by state. That's what all she'll have to report. She just needs to report the sales that were made in New York. And it'll also show if eBay withheld sales tax for those sales as well. And I think, when did we start with New York? I think it was the fall of 2018, wasn't it?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So we've been collecting sales tax for her on her behalf throughout 2019.
All of 2019. So Minda, you can go to paypal.com, log in, look for the reports feature, select the time window you need. I believe you can select by recent year, so all of 2019, set the other filters, and generate a report to download.
Excellent. Our next question is also about reports, Brian. Why don't you read this one?
Certainly. "Hello there. I'm a relatively new eBay seller. If you've discussed my topic already, I apologize. There are certain fields for each item I'm selling that I want, need to keep for accounting or analysis purposes. Items such as date purchased, the date I purchased an item in order to sell it on eBay, amount I paid for the item, number of days on eBay before it sold, number of views before it sold, percent eBay charged me, profit loss, etc. Is there any current reporting within eBay that could accommodate my need want? I would like to keep all my info in one place. I would also like to quit the dual entry I'm currently doing. I believe eBay must have some of the metrics. There is already a report where I can customize it to the degree mentioned above. Please let me know. Thank you, and please keep up the great work on the podcast, Julie."
Well, hello, Julie, and you're right. We have covered this topic in a past podcast, but no worries. It's a topic that bears revisits from time to time.
Especially if it helps a seller be more efficient.
Yes, that's important. Julie, currently in Seller Hub, as we mentioned for the first question, there are reports, but there's a number of them. There's reports for sold items, which are also indicated at Seller Hub as orders, and they can be found under the Orders tab. There are also reports for listing views and impressions on the traffic page of Seller Hub, which is under the Performance tab. And finally, there's a report for transactions under the Payments tab in Seller Hub.
And if Julie is a new seller, she is more than likely under Managed Payments. So all her transaction data per listings would be found in a payments report.
Yeah, exactly. But if she's not absolutely brand new at selling, she might possibly have listings that were transacted through PayPal. In which case, like we said with the last questioner with Minda, that data is accessible through one of PayPal's transaction reports.
And Julie, for all these reports, there are columns for every single aspect of the transaction.
Yeah, there's lots of them, except for points like cost of item, date purchase. That's information that by nature just has to be provided by the seller. eBay doesn't have that.
And for orders, the reporting look back is only 90 days currently. Traffic reports show current listing views and impressions, but only for active listings. And this information is not available for listings that have ended, sold, or unsold.
Yeah, now for payment reports, the look back is farther back. It's over a year. Both reports have many columns of data. And these, by the way, are downloadable as comma-separated value files. They're readable in any spreadsheet application like Excel or Numbers on a Mac. You can also customize each report once you've downloaded it. You can add columns as well. Again, this is for inventory that is sold and does not include active listings or unlisted inventory.
And currently, there is no download report for active listings, but there are two eBay tools that might interest you: File Exchange and Merchant Integration Platform, or internally what we call MIP, M-I-P. Both are focused on live or soon-to-be-live inventory.
Yeah, and they also use comma-separated value files, and they're easily customizable. Now, I'm going to put links directly to each one that we've mentioned in the transcript for episode 133. So, Julie, to summarize, there isn't one single report that's going to provide everything you're looking for in a single file. But all of the comma-separated value files that you can download are customizable. So you can add your own data columns to a generated report. You can also add existing spreadsheet data to a download eBay-generated report as well.
Really? How do you do that?
Well, you'd need to find a data point for each transaction. You consider each transaction a complete row on a spreadsheet. Now, so for example, in an eBay-generated report, each transaction row is assigned a unique record number. If you use the same record number in your own spreadsheet, that is, you assign the identical record number from each transaction in the eBay report to a matching transaction in your own spreadsheet, you can then sort each spreadsheet by record number and then copy and paste your spreadsheet columns as additional columns in the eBay generated report.
Okay, but that sounds complicated.
Yes, I see how it could be hard to understand without visuals.
Maybe we, and by we, I mean you, need to create a tutorial.
It's a great idea. If I didn't do it myself, I could find someone who can help us do it. But it is a way of combining data in a way that's a little bit faster than having to do what she doesn't want to do, and I don't blame her, which is duplicate data entry. That's a waste of time. Although we don't have really anything that can solve what you're looking for right now, we could pass these ideas on to Harry's team, and there's always the possibility they can be implemented in a way that makes it easier for a seller to add their own data points to an existing report in a less onerous sort of way.
And I know that some data points, such as purchase price of the item, I know that Harry's been asked that before. My assumption is somewhere on their roadmap, they're looking at how do they implement or create the ability for the seller to enter their own data.
Yeah, I would love that. Every time I list an item, I can put in someplace in a field, I can create a custom field label that says cost of good and date purchased. And then any reports generated out that will include those columns and the data that I've entered. That would make my life a lot easier too.
Yes. And I know that that question and that comment has come up, but I have no other information except to say that I've heard sellers ask that.
Yeah, I've heard it too. And I have to sympathize as somebody who sells on eBay, even though I'm not high volume, I really would love a more robust way to add my own points, my own customization to an eBay report. So anyway, Brian, our next question was sent via email, and it's by eBay seller Elisa, who writes, "Good afternoon from the South Bay of California. This is Long Beach. I've been selling on eBay since November 1999 under Elisa75, and her user ID is Dublins_treasure_isle. We recently upgraded from Starter to Premium Store. Upon upgrading, I noticed the inventory link in Seller Hub under the Listing tab dropdown. I started working here when we bought new items, but it was not intuitive and didn't work as I expected, so I stopped using it and went back to my old inventory system, but wondered if there's a different purpose for this section. Is there a how-to for this feature? I couldn't locate one, nor did I find other sellers talking about it. Thanks a bunch." By the way, I just caught up to all 131 podcasts, and I've learned a great deal about some eBay features I've implemented into our store. I also miss the Irish accent. Well, that's Alan.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone misses Alan.
And I won't even attempt to try and do an Irish accent.
Nor will I, because he'll call in and say, stop that. And it's signed Elisa, Dublin's Treasure Isle on eBay.
Elisa, thanks for the question.
Yeah, Elisa, with a premium store subscription, you have access, as you've realized, to this old selling manager pro feature called inventory. Alas, there's no how-to for this feature. It was created about 20 years ago, and it's never been updated. In fact, if you click through some of the steps, and I believe you have, you would have seen some very, very old eBay pages.
It looks like eBay circa 1999. With inventory, you can create up to, I believe, hundreds of separate templates for listing product. Most sellers who utilize this feature have a SKU or an SKU product, but it can work for any seller, though it is probably least useful for sellers of one-of-a-kind items, that is, items that are not merchandise that can be replenished. Have you ever used this old inventory feature, Griff?
I have, but I found it really hard to work with. It was a little confusing, and at one point I said, why am I doing all this? I don't have items that I'm going to then relist with an exact template. But anyway, in inventory, you can create a hierarchy of folders based on your own categories and for different products. You can give them all labels, and then you can create templates in each folder. And this is just confusing to me. I couldn't figure out how this could work for me and be a benefit. But anyway, once you have a template in an inventory folder, you can open it and use it to create a new listing. It was more bang than I needed at the time, but that's just me. My advice to any sellers, if they're curious, try it out. See if it'll work for you. No harm done. If it doesn't work, you don't have to use it.
Yeah, it's definitely more than I would ever need as a seller as well. A more useful feature for many sellers, including myself, is listing templates.
Yeah, I've used these all the time. I have one template for each of the types of items I tend to list a lot. So, for example, I have one for men's short sleeve shirts and one's for men's shoes. And for each of the templates, I fill in all the information that's common to any of my shoe listings and then save it. This helps me eliminate a lot of data entry for when I create a new shirt or shoe listing. So I use those all the time.
And Alyssa, you can create up to 50 listing templates, and you can edit them and reuse them, delete them, and of course, create new ones.
Editing a template or deleting it has no impact on any of the listings that were created with that template.
And to start creating your own listing templates, go to Seller Hub Listings Listing Templates.
Yeah, and I don't want to discourage anyone from testing out the old inventory tool as well. Just because it didn't work for me doesn't mean it can't work for you. It's just that if you don't need hundreds and hundreds of templates, but you can work with 50 or less, the listing template option might work best for you.
Thanks again for that question, Elisa. Let us know if you have any more questions about this particular topic.
Do you have questions? Why not send them to us at the eBay for Business podcast, just like Minda and Elisa. I forget who the first person was.
Delaine. Delaine and the thermal printers. How could you forget Delaine at this point?
TP. Maybe that's why I forgot. But you can send your questions two ways. You can phone your question in at 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. And may I say that we just love calling questions? May I? I said it.
We do. But if you're not a call on the phone person, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now, don't forget, every week we do this, your daily podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
And don't forget the TP.
Griff.
TP, Brian.
I'm not sure that's appropriate. Well, TP, thermal printer.
Yep.
How could we ever forget those? And finally, check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
And there's also some screenshots in this week's transcript of Delaine's customized stickers, printed with a TP, of course.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay seller I love to be selling, Kathy Terrell.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.